Hey, Most Extreme Podcast listeners. It's that time of year again. The seasons are changing, schools are out, and we're all looking for that sense of summer adventure. Maybe you're planning that amazing vacation or putting together an awesome party. Or maybe you're looking for a fun way to just put some thrill and excitement into everyday life. Well, looks like me, yes, comedy podcaster Brett Ellison has the solution for you. Souvenir Scents has some of the best, nay, the best scented candles that smell like your favorite theme park rides and attractions from around the world. They have amazing smells like Banana Mayhem, Pandoran Flight, Soaring India, Africa, Fiji, ET Forest, which is the one I have right here, and it smells amazing in my office. These are the greatest candles you can buy, and Most Extreme Podcast listeners can get 15% off at checkout with the promo code EXTREME. That's X-T-R-E-M-E to get 15% off on your new favorite candles. So go to SouvenirScents.com to find out more, or click the link in the description. And now, on with the episode.
Coming up! Each contestant will be performing their opinions on the singing competition that sweep the nation. This week, it's American Idol Season 7, and this is Most Extreme Podcast.
Most Extreme Podcast, the show where we discuss and analyze the enigma that is 2000s pop culture. This week, we are talking American Idol Season 7. My name is Brett Ellison.
I'm Alex Hill.
Our esteemed guest, Alex Hill, who you have seen on the title of the show. Alex, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, cheers. Good to be back.
Yeah, very excited to talking about American Idol. Are you excited?
This feels just like an intimate throwback to an like intimate a throwback. Pivotal part of my life. Yeah. So, yes, give me a chance to relive the glory days.
Yeah.
Speaking of intimate throwbacks.
Just blew up the mic.
Surprise.
And I am Jarrett Whitworth.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen.
The mic literally just fell.
I don't think anyone of you expecting that to happen unless you watched the Instagram hint. I guess we might have put something in there. We'll see. But Jarrett Whitworth, welcome. He's back, ladies and gentlemen. Woo. He's doing American Idol.
So good to be back in the airplane hangar.
And we're back here hanging out, drinking the seltzers as we normally
drinking
do.
Drinking the seltzer, just absolutely. As spacious as it always was.
Wegmans seltzers are superior.
Yeah, shout out to Wegmans.
Official sponsor?
Maybe. Please.
Let me.
I'll take it.
We'll have our people talk to your people, et cetera, et cetera.
I may speak to the man of the way. a little bit of housekeeping, I guess. Jarrett is back for maybe a couple as we're doing it. Right now, as we're recording this, Alejandro is currently shooting his senior thesis film, and Jarrett has volunteered to be able to kind of fill in for us during this time.
Clutch.
So thank you so much for coming back for, you know, a handful of episodes. So,
of course.
Right on.
I'm very excited to do it. Hang on. Okay. Well, we've got breaking news. We have an exclusive clip from Alejandro's senior thesis film that we will be playing the audio for. Here it is.
I'm Alejandro Joaquin.
Wow, that was great. I'm excited for that film.
Such epic work.
So I know.
Is that going to be HBO Max or Amazon? Or
I think
Apple
it's a Quibi.
Or Stars, okay. Maybe?
Stars.
I don't know.
Now there's what, CNN Plus?
Peacock?
Imagine signing up for CNN Plus.
You just have nothing to live for at that point.
So badly want the news.
Yes.
I need it so bad. But okay, so we're talking about American Idol today.
Well, yeah.
Okay,
we need the news that's behind a paywall. They're hiding from
isn't
the public.
Isn't that the Washington Post and the New York Times? Anyway, we'll go through that anyway.
Oh, man, I'm a subscriber to both. Dang it.
Dang it. Okay, I do get
walked
the
into that one.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. That's on the New York Times as well.
It's true.
We're getting to American Idol, people. Just we'll
we
get
are.
To it.
It's been
a rough 24 hours for the three of us or anybody who cheers for the Carolina Blue.
Yes.
Do we talk about it or should we just move right on? It's up
I
to
mean,
you guys.
We did a shout out. It happened. We celebrated.
We beat Duke.
We came,
in the,
we saw,
in the
we
championship.
Conquered.
We're not the championship where we moved on. It was an epic
four.
Game. It was intense. It was like watching an intense, like, Uncut Gems movie the whole time on the edge of your seat.
It was like, yeah, it was everything pent up until the clock at zero and then the eruption of joy.
Of joy. Right. Like, okay, did this really happen? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then both of you were on Franklin Street.
Mm-hmm. Was indeed.
Enjoying that. Yeah. Also, I should say, not to each other, but both of you recently married.
Oh, yeah. Since the last time we were both That's on the right. show together. Yeah, congrats,
yeah.
man.
So, yeah. Okay, let's get to American Idol.
Anyway, American Idol.
We've already hit like a 5-minute mark, and I would love to talk about it. So this, we were just talking about this as friends, and I think it just came up, and then I think it was just like, okay, the more I did some digging, I'm like, yes.
There's something here.
We haven't done American Idol episode. I have a feeling we're going to do some more. And then also, B, this is such a, like, time capsule of the time, and it's an event that was American Idol and everything like that.
Yes.
So, Jared, why did you, like, immediately, we have to do this?
I was
specifically season 7.
Yeah, I was driving on the way to see you guys, and I just had this, like, flash of a vision in my head. Like, this is what we need to talk about.
Yeah.
The season 7 was the season when I was in 9th grade. I just remember it so vividly. I had watched American Idol before, and if we wanted... You know, can I go ahead and touch on maybe personal history? Like, I think the first season of American Idol was either 3rd or 4th grade. It was something like that. So I just remember seeing, like, promos on TV and it not looking that interesting. Like, it was just some clips of, like, Simon Cowell dissing people or, like...
You're such a terrible singer.
Get those pants in the pants in the women's section, you know, like stuff like that. And, interesting, like, whatever. But then Clay Aiken happened.
Oh,
and that,
Clay.
Like, around here, that was a, like...
The Ruben Studdard season.
Yeah. Yes. So that was, lighting a fire. Like, everybody was talking about it, right?
Is that
right.
also Jennifer Hudson's season? She was pretty early on, too. But, I think that was the same season. Anyway.
Might have been.
When it kind of lit the fire, right?
So I had, like, started, I guess, knowing more of it. It got more popular. And then... That season specifically, I hadn't watched a whole lot, but I remember, like, people talking about, like, hey, this guy, I had, like, a teacher.
Clay Aiken.
No. Then this is season 7.
Oh, season 7.
So
okay.
now Jumping fast ahead. Forward to season 7, I remember having a teacher who was like, one of these guys, like, sang a song that I was like, I would buy that music, like, right now. And it was David Cook. I think it was when he did Hello.
Yeah.
In, like,
the Lionel Richie
12
one.
12 or 16. Yeah, whenever he did it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, let me catch up on, like, what this guy's doing. I was like, holy crap, this guy's incredible.
There was so much talent, the literal kind of rock music vibe
and like that, and like his voice and stuff, I thought was just so good. And like his style of music, I was like instantly like, oh, this is the guy, like I want this guy to win. Spoiler alert.
Okay. At this
point,
years.
We will say at this point, yes, David Cook does win this season. Yeah. Just so you're there.
14 years later.
Yeah. So I was just all in. And of course, it was like the David Cook versus David Archuleta.
The Davids.
Battle of the Davids.
And so you had some, you know, all the high school girls liked the, like, David Archuleta, like the, you know.
The little heartthrob.
Well,
Sorry, David.
He was 17 at the time of the show.
Yeah. He was still in high school. I think he was a senior. Because didn't he have to, like, miss prom? I vaguely remember that being
a thing.
Oh,
geez, I had to miss prom to be on American Idol.
Dang it.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And something about what you said too, Jared, I think that year was the year that they partnered with iTunes to be able to release Top 12. Mm-hmm. And I bought some. Like, I still
own
some. I did too.
From them, yeah.
I mean, and they, you know, I think they did them both, like the live versions you could buy for maybe 24 hours after the show. And then after that, they did the re-recording like in the
studio.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man, I still have a ton of them. Like, and they're still great quality. Or like, where did all the talent come from in this season? So, yeah.
So when did you start watching American Idol?
Ooh, I actually was trying to remember that when I knew I was coming back. I think we watched, I want to say it was the Clay Aiken and Ruben episode, or that season is when we started watching more. But for some reason, just like you, Jared, I had the same, I was in 10th grade at the time, but I had the same draw to this season in particular. So, I mean, I feel like everybody at school was talking about it. Everyone had their favorites. People bought music. Yeah, I think because I also am a singer, there was a lot of appeal, and you know, I would never do this, but I admire the people that do, and getting a chance to see everybody's different styles and backgrounds, and you kind of got backstory by that finalist level of a lot of people, and you felt like you knew them in a way. That's kind of all I remember is just it's almost like sports arena where you have a team, you have someone that you're cheering for, but everyone's so good at that level that you're kind of happy when someone does well. And
and to add to the quality of it, if I recall, I think this is the first season they allowed you to play instruments well. Yep. And so you got to see that extra level of
musical talent. David Cook, who's like, I play guitar and sing.
Yeah. And Jason like Castro brought in the acoustic guitar, the I think early in the, not before even the semifinals. I want to say it was top 24.
Yeah.
And it was an unusual move at the time.
Mm-hmm. I started watching American Idol. I can distinctly remember the Taylor Hicks season.
God. Oh,
man.
Yeah. Which that's, you're like, that, I think, which I, again, doing a lot of research for this, season five, which is, or season six, excuse me, the one right before this, where Jordan Sparks wins.
Yes. Was, how am I supposed to breathe in no air?
Is the most watched season of American Idol ever. Okay. This one that we're talking about, season seven, I believe is like the second or third after Taylor Hicks. Just to give you an idea, about for season seven, there were about 33.8 million people watching an episode, including the results.
Wow.
Season six had 37.
So
very close. But even then, any show now to have that many viewers,
it would be insane.
Right. Oh, yeah. It would be insane to have that many people watching dedicated, not even just the Tuesday, but on Wednesday with the results. Yeah.
Do you have in front of you like the viewership of
everyone,
the last couple seasons or something?
Oh, they're all down to like maybe 6 million.
Oh my god. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's gotten worse and
it
worse
hit
and worse
a
every
sweet
time.
Spot at that. Yeah. It seemed like that era for a handful of seasons, that was the sweet spot. It was before cell phones were really prolific. Like, you weren't texting to vote, you literally had to call in to vote. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember busy signals when I was calling in. Like,
yeah,
who even
same.
Knows what a busy signal is anymore?
Yeah.
But
how
was,
am I supposed to be part of the Soul Patrol for Taylor Hicks?
Oh my god. Oh, okay, man. Fun fact though, he does have a really sweet song called "Do I Make You Proud" that is a perfect mother son
dance. I
think
I have that on iTunes.
I mean, it. I will give it to him. That is a very tender song. But
was that ever an option for Aaron and his mom to?
I threw it out at one point. they were very picky about what song they
you couldn't
wanted to
get
dance
Taylor
to.
Taylor Hicks
so.
To show up. He should be on this show.
He should shoot. Shout out to Taylor Hicks. Get him
well,
over here.
Well, here's the thing: is that was also the season of the famous Chris Daughtry.
Oh
era,
yes,
where that's where he. It was a. Church music leader like 15 minutes down the road at the same church where we shot a BRAC movie.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And so I knew a lot of people who know him very well.
All right.
Because he's from the area.
Small world.
I forgot that he was from the area.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Daughtry is from the area.
Yeah.
Daughtry.
So maybe we'll have him on too. Also, the fact that song Home then became the like goodbye song.
Yes.
Yeah.
After a Bad Day, which was the one that happened before.
Yep.
Both became kind of a meme songs at this point, but.
I mean, rightfully so.
But that's part of the thing of an American Idol of like you're the runner-ups. Typically become more famous than the people who win.
Well, and they also don't have the lockdown of whatever contract is written up by American Idol. So it was almost to their benefit to not win, if that makes sense.
I remember
at
that
least
being,
I feel that way.
Right.
Being kind of a point of conversation because David Cook seemed to just be like running away with it.
Right.
And then people started asking like, do you actually want to win? Because like you might be better off like losing and kind of having more freedom or whatever.
Do y'all remember the scandal that was at one point when I think it was a top four or top five or something. And I remember it with Jason Castro because, you know, he still sort of has my heart. It's fine.
Whoa, hang on. We'll
Aaron
go back
knows
to that in a second.
Fine. My husband knows it's fine. but Jason at Castro. One point it looked like he was saying, don't vote.
What?
But he was double. He was saying, I said,
vote.
And they literally brought in like speech analysts to look and see because it looked like he was trying to sabotage his own win. I don't know if y'all remember that, but I remember thinking like, no, he said, vote. Like wait. I double up all the time, but
like,
people
it was
thought
like
he
after
said,
he
don't
had
vote.
Sung a song and it was like talking to the
and
camera.
Looked at the camera and said, people thought don't vote.
Whoa.
Yep.
Wow.
And he got voted off that week. So that was why it was.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Can you call in and say, I don't want to vote.
Are we going to talk about vote for the worst at any point?
Oh,
sure.
God, why?
Go for it now.
So do we remember
this?
That
I
website?
I don't remember.
Oh my
this.
Gosh. That was a website dedicated to like voteforthewor.com and it was for like intentionally trying to sabotage and get people to vote for the actual like worst part.
Oh my
so
gosh.
If the name Sanjaya Malakar.
He was
the first, he was kind of like the first meme stock where like everybody just voted for him to get him through and
He was also
that was its own kind of
very.
Scandal
I mean,
too.
He had like a very distinct voice to make fun of too. Yeah. I remember that he like got embarrassed
he
and was, turned red as a cute little tomato.
He was also like what 15, 16 too.
He was
right?
a young guy. Yeah. Young.
He did some crazy stuff with his hair.
Right.
Like,
respect
giant
for
mohawk,
wherever
like,
you're
crazy
at, Sanjaya.
Stuff.
Yeah. yeah. Respect uh-huh. forever yeah. you're
so
at.
So
yeah.
were you a part of that too?
No, it was basically just like a blog. And so uh-huh. like, yeah, for fun, I would like check every week and every week they would update like, all right, we're
who
gonna
is the new worst
vote for this person. We were like, they did the worst. So we want them mm-hmm. to like keep going or whatever. And
I remember Simon Cowell saying, this is not a popularity contest. It is a music competition. And he
and
got
like,
so frustrated with it.
But you're like, bro, you made this show. Like,
you know exactly
yeah.
what it is.
Which yes. I didn't know that, too. I for some
one
reason,
of the producers.
He
yeah.
was producers and one of the creators of Pop Idol, which was the British version, which came before the American Idol.
Oh,
which
cool.
I did not know.
I didn't know that either.
I knew there was a billion different versions of it. Like, mm-hmm. there's Australian Idol.
I remember
and
Canadian Idol for whatever
yeah,
reason.
There's this Indian Idol I remember watching at my neighbor's house. And a lot of different ones. So it definitely became a phenomenon worldwide. But,
yes.
Yeah, it seemed like that. Also another reason I like talking about, I was obsessed with American Idol, by the way, like, especially from like,
good man.
But I also think this might've been the last season I actually paid attention to too, before you start to
yeah.
go like, we were talking about this earlier too, yeah. that like
huh.
the winners start to get less and less interesting.
David Cook was the first of like five in a row, like white guys with guitar.
Yeah.
Boise, and I don't even remember that. I think you're right. I might have done
yeah.
Something similar. Who even won the next year?
I have no clue.
See, there you go.
Was
all
like
right.
Scotty
oh.
McCreery one of them?
Oh,
no,
Phillips.
No,
Phillips.
The next year was Chris Allen and Adam Lambert. That was
oh.
that was interesting because Adam Lambert had a huge career and he was a runner
yeah.
up.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
That's true. And gosh, Chris Allen, I like completely blanked out because Scotty McCreery was
he was a year or two after that,
right? But he was an NC State student, and while we were at Carolina,
allegedly.
I remember hearing that. What?
No,
allegedly,
he's from.
What
yeah,
about
yeah, yeah.
what
yeah.
about Anoop Desai? Went to Chapel Hill.
Went to Chapel Hill. Go Heels. Yeah, and
yeah,
I completely spaced. After this season, season seven was kind of.
It's kind
peak.
Of it. So this is
oh, last season.
Speaking of, we got Scotty McCreery coming in the door. Hey, y'all. How's
got
it going?
Yeah. Wow. Jared, he was just here.
Yeah. Oh, I missed him. Huh?
Yeah. Well, here's a fun fact. Here you go. According to Billboard magazine, in the first 10 years of American Idol, American Idol spawned 345 Billboard chart toppers and a platoon of pop idols, including Kelly Clarkson,
yes.
Carrie Underwood, Chris Daughtry, Fantasia, Ruben Studdard, Jennifer Hudson, Clay Aiken, Adam Lambert, Jordan Sparks, while remaining number one in the TV ratings for 10 years. So having both
wow.
of those at the same time, that makes it that's a phenomenon.
That's a
insane.
Multimedia
yeah.
like
yeah.
empire right there, basically.
Oh,
did you even mention Carrie Underwood in there, too?
We didn't, because I would say out of the two winners that actually have had a big career would probably be Kelly Clarkson and Carrie
Underwood.
And Carrie Underwood,
yeah.
Which was
too.
The season right before the whole Terra 6. So we're kind of talking everything American Idol, but specifically with this season, what I thought was interesting, number one, we mentioned that you can use instruments. I would say this is interesting season because it was the last season where we only had the main three judges of Randy, Paula, and Simon.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
The Holy Trinity.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Because then they added Kara Diaguari
right,
or something like that.
Music producer. And then Ellen.
And then it just
yes.
became there's like.
Simon leaves.
You
Randy
can't
leaves.
Have too many people like. Talking to try to get all their words in, because then really it's just like, all right, all of you guys are going to say nothing, and then Simon is the only one that really gives
yeah,
sure, actual
you,
criticism.
And you
just
almost
got too
had
bloated.
Them become typecast too. Like you yeah. needed somebody who was going to be sweet. You needed somebody who was going to be the Randy of the group and be
yeah.
like, yeah, man, sorry,
it's a little pitchy
me.
Dog,
and then yeah, that's a no for me, dog.
Yeah. I love you. I love you. I love your music. I love your voice. That just
was tight.
Great. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yep. And then Pitchy.
Right.
Pitchy
right.
was
they
the one.
They had such unique personalities, for sure. And that's what definitely, like, put it out. I would say out of the replacement judges that happened later, I think Steven Tyler would be the only one that I
yes.
think had the
I did
different
like him
unique.
On, yeah.
It How was, long was he a, I don't remember that
Two, three seasons? Not very long.
Who
yeah.
are the judges now?
It was Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, and some guy.
Oh, no.
They just pull a kid that out of the crowd every week. Just... Look under your seat.
It's you. Yeah, you are the judge. Yeah.
some guy.
How do we even do voting now? This is so embarrassing.
I couldn't tell you.
Like,
I don't know. I know that the audition process is completely different.
Okay.
Which,
that doesn't surprise me.
Which,
I think you can submit videos now.
That's how it's done now, is that because a lot of, and the kind, they don't really show you on the tape, which is where, you know, hundreds of thousands of people show up to fill up, you know, a
yeah.
giant stadium.
The auditorium
right.
level. Yeah.
And anybody can pretty much show up. And there's no cap to how many people can show up, but you go through several rounds of producers before you even get to like the celebrity judges. shows.
Yes.
Yeah. And now a lot of that's being done videotape ahead of time.
Yeah.
And they stopped showing the bad auditions.
Which, I mean, might have affected their ratings.
Which might have affected their ratings, but I want to get to it a little bit later because I think rewatching this show, I found that the show had such a cynical and mean sense of humor throughout the entire season of season 7.
I don't
disagree.
That
I was like, this is like, for being the most popular show, this is like downright just like rude, especially to the people.
Kind of shameful.
Right. Especially yeah. especially in the audition process where there's obviously some fun people who get out there. Like, for example, James Lewis, who was this very tall black man from Philadelphia who was like a... He was like a revolutionary tour guide from downtown Philadelphia.
Was he pants on the ground guy?
No.
Okay. No.
That's
okay.
General Larry Platt.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying.
Because I said in middle school, this man is my hero. But yeah, James was, he had a really kind of like high voice, and then he wore like a mustard suit, and he got up there. And then he starts, and he's like, all my coworkers begged me to come on to American Idol.
Yeah.
And then he just gets up there and he starts singing like, "Let my people," like, yeah, so deep, and oh, everyone starts that. Laughing. And to me, the problem is when you start to make fun of somebody who doesn't, like, I really want to be this, and you're just making fun of them for being.
And that's what makes it worse than when you realize actually, like, it takes so many rounds of before you even get to the judges. So people are like,
The producers are like, putting that guy keep through. Going. Yeah, yeah. You're great. Yeah.
And the ones that are like, all of my friends said I would be great. It's like, ooh.
Yeah. That's the stuff that I'm like,
makes me cringe.
It is cringy because you know that they probably let so many of the middle of the road people go. But for good television, they let the really good people stay and the ones that made good television.
Right. Which kind of makes me feel like being a judge is kind of torturous.
Very true.
You don't know what's coming out the door. It could be like a man who's dressed as like Oscar the Grouch, or it could be all this stuff. It's like, oh no. But at the same time, I feel like they had a pretty good gig, especially once you got into like the live events. Oh,
yeah. Yes.
Except for Simon, who apparently had to have a security team follow him through the entire duration of the show because people were sending death threats to him. One guy in New York actually had a bat and was trying to, like, kill him because he was so mean.
Like, this season, or you mean, like, the run of the whole show?
Yeah. Which was like, geez.
Gosh.
Which is why he's kind of changed his persona a little bit on, like, America's Got Talent and The X Factor to be a little bit nicer than how he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if enough people were like, hey, you might genuinely be in trouble if you keep this up. I don't know. It's like, we can't keep you safe.
Yeah, we can't. There's at some point we can't. But yeah, a brand new set was built. It was the first time they did it in the Nokia Theater LA Live building, which instead of doing it in the Kodak Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. This is the theater that's next to the Staples Center. I'm not calling it the crypto.com
Staples Center.
Yes. But yeah, it's very interesting. Another one in terms of auditions that I think is fun is Ronaldo Lapez, who's the guy who dressed up in like the full like feathery outfit, and I think he's from the Philippines.
So that picture makes it look like he lasted a while. Did he?
No. They brought him to the finale because he was so funny.
He had been kind of immediately captured the attention of the American audience, and they brought him back. Okay.
I am your brother. That thing. And they brought
singing to Simon Cowell.
Yeah. I wrote this for Simon.
Oh my God.
So there's the people who like know that they're outrageous, and that's a little bit better than, and there's, or the people who are like, I'm the next American Idol, who think they're hot stuff and they're terrible. I'm fine with those being like looked down upon a little bit, but the people who I feel like are like genuinely like, no, I came here to like make a dream.
Yeah.
And then we're just kind of like, look at these morons.
That your, dreams are crushed.
Flashback to the people that would like lose their mind and freak out, and whenever they swore, they would bleep it over with like American Idol
the logo
over their face, over their mouth.
Yeah.
I'd totally forgotten that.
I think multiple times when we've made films, we were like, what if we ever need a sentence for like just one time, just like it's the American Idol logo.
Oh my gosh.
In something else.
I think you'd get a reaction.
We would get a reaction and probably a lawsuit, but it would be worth it.
Yeah. What could you, how could you avoid a lawsuit in doing that? There's a way to do that.
Yeah. Right?
Parody law or something. You're fine.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. So out of the two runner-ups, I guess the two finalists, David Cook and David Archuleta. Mm-hmm. So you're a big David Cook fan. You're more of a Jason fan.
Yes. I did like both Davids, though. I was not mad when David Cook won. I thought he deserved to win, but that was only after Jason lost.
Yeah.
So.
How do you, in terms of feelings, you were more on Dave Cook. Did you feel What about Archuleta? Do you have any feelings about him, or did you have feelings against him? Or
personal feelings? Personal
vendetta? It was more just like, I thought he was fine. Like, I just didn't get it. Like, I didn't get why this guy.
That might be the male-female perspective, too. Because in high school, that was definitely, like, whose team are you on? Right. Like, main discussion among the women. And,
what's the Twilight one? Taylor and...
Edward
and Taylor.
Team PETA!
Team PETA, team
Conan.
Gale.
I think, like, anything, again, you're still... learning to understand reality as a ninth grader, but it did feel like like I was vindicated when David Cook won. You know, it's like one of those kind of
things.
Yeah.
But when Chapel Hill does win, I do feel
Of course.
And you goes without saying. Yeah. And we went there. Like it really is
It is our team. We actually deserve it.
Have to enjoy the fact that it was two Davids, because when Ryan Seacrest is announcing, he says the winner is David.
Doing him dirty like that. Do y'all remember though? There was another David.
Yeah, there was another David.
David Hernandez. He was what, top 11, maybe.
Yeah.
I remember him singing "Papa Was a Rolling Stone" and liking that. That was the only song I remember that he did and did well. But there were three, and then there were two,
and then there was one. And again, if I recall correctly, just some lore of that season, I think. The broadcast lasted long enough to where if you TiVo'd and like set it to end at the right time, it actually cut off right after Seacrest said David.
Wow.
So you were just watching a post recording.
And then went to what, like an episode of House or something?
American Idol Gate.
Yeah. I think it cut off. I think I remember that story coming around.
Like, jeez.
You would have missed it.
I had a dream once where like I was like Ryan Seacrest, like, and the winner is, and then I woke up.
Oh, so
I just never remember having that.
Who was the competition between in that dream?
I don't know. I think I was just there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have never found
the marshmallow monster in the bowling alley. And the winner is.
It was one of the great unsolved mysteries.
Grimace and me. I'm finding it's Grimace.
And that frog on your shirt.
I read somewhere that David Archuleta's dad somehow was really involved behind the scenes. It was like changing lyrics and stuff like that. And the dad got banned from like helping. Like apparently he was like under the table, like trying to help his son and stuff
actually,
like that.
There's fun fact too. So I remember that being kind of a scandal because when David Archuleta sang Stand By Me, he put the lyric in from Beautiful Girls
by
Sean Kingston. And that was one of the weird things of like, no, you can't do that. He, you know, of course was completely innocent because he'd had the suggestion from his dad. But what do you do in that scenario? I mean, copyrights and music and
so
all
he tried
that.
To go full Pitch Perfect and make a mashup.
And it was one line, but it was clearly from
his dad who put it in there, got like banned from American Idol.
Yeah. Yep.
So a lot of seedy stuff happens behind the scenes. Also, apparently something I did not know is that when they shot the live shows is that I was reading this from a vlog that apparently it was not fun to be in the live audience at all because they were shooting the show all day. So they would start at like 8 a.m. with the hotline, and then you'd just sit there pretty much the whole time. And sometimes it'd be like, all right, we got to do that one again, like a performance or something.
Wow.
So it would take forever. It's very similar to when they shoot The Voice, similar thing of like you're there all day. It's a free thing. It's a similar thing to like Jeopardy, where they shoot 5 episodes in a row.
And at least they know ahead of time, you know, audience, you're coming in for 5 episodes.
And then they act like tomorrow's episode when they shoot it like the next minute, everyone just changes clothes.
Interesting. That's kind of funny.
It's a similar to thing with like, I was reading about like when they shot Legends of the Hidden Temple or something like Art Guts on Nickel or Double Dare, where they would just shoot like 5 in a row. So you're sitting there the whole time.
So I'm going to come across real naive here. So you're talking about the episodes that would happen on Wednesday night where everyone was singing? Like that whole thing was recorded like over the course of the whole day?
Pretty much.
Oh, wow.
So it might be like, oh, we need to reshoot that or something like that.
Boy, see, that's completely new to me. I had no idea that was happening.
The finale was definitely live.
Yeah.
But there were things where it's like, oh, they had a comedy bit or something, or they needed to like... You know, maybe a mic was not working or something. They would have to go back.
Now, are you talking about like when they would do group performances, you know, when they had themes of like, I think they did Beatles Week and performed three different things where the guy sang one, girl sang one. Those are what you're talking about.
Yeah. The whole, because they edit it down to be like an hour.
Right.
Or less time. But then when you watch now rewatching stuff, I'm like, man, they wasted so much time.
That's true.
Especially in the results show where it was like, after the break. And you're like, Ryan.
Oh, yes. I remember Mom and Dad and I, when we watched that, would definitely shake our fists a few times. I'm like, oh, of course he's going to say after the break.
Yeah. So a lot of wasting time. But yeah, no, it took like a whole day to shoot one episode. Plus, yeah. Being a contestant, you had to do, like we were saying with iTunes, you have to record in the studio the same version. Gosh. You have to do the commercials. You're doing like press thing, being on like Kimmel. You're doing all this type of stuff. It sounded like being a contestant on it was almost like slavery. You have no life. You just do what the producers do, and you don't get paid much at all.
It's amazing more of them didn't lose their voice, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably had to be very well coached to how to take care of it when they're doing that much singing. So
I remember another, if we're touching on some scandals.
Yeah.
Not much a scandal, but like David Cook's thing is he would often find covers of songs and do like a version of that, or like sometimes he would make his own arranging. He would do that a lot too, but a lot of times he would do covers. Exactly.
Do you still listen to David Cook?
Yeah, some stuff.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I remember like there was a couple of the artists that he used their version of. The most famous one was his Billie Jean. He does Chris Cornell's version of Billie Jean.
Oh,
and
cool.
I think it didn't get like, it wasn't sort of properly sort of announced that he was doing a cover or whatever. Or maybe it was like lost in translation, but there was like Chris Cornell was upset. He didn't think he got the credit for like, it was like, oh, David Cook. So that was a really bold choice. Like way to go. Right. Like that was incredible. And it's like, he just did his version. But David Cook acknowledged that he did that. So I remember there was one of those like Ryan Seacrest interviews before the guy does it. And it was like a couple weeks after that one. And it felt very like PR, like, okay, David, we're going to do a little interview and we're going to mention all of the covers that you've done very casually.
Wow.
And then we're
going to
go. So he's, Ryan's asking like, how do you come up with, come up with your arrangements? And David Cook is like, sometimes I put them together. Sometimes I'm like looking up other people's versions and put them together. And so it just felt like
smoothing things over.
It was a very natural feeling interview, but also like, that might have been
probably PR. Yeah,
they might have had to do that to smooth some things over.
Music and copyright stuff makes no sense.
Oh, I know.
Because he did so much of that. He did so much of like pulling covers and all.
Well, that was probably so much like advent of the internet and mixing and things like that too. Mm. That people were probably still playing catch up of like what is and isn't okay to what's breaking the law and what's not. So
yeah.
It's also me downloading all of his songs on LimeWire was probably breaking
I mean, what?
Buying them on iTunes.
Groove Shark.
Yep. I definitely had like an iTunes allowance every year. I think.
Really?
I did.
An iTunes allowance?
I did. Yep.
So was that just like you got a gift card and they were like, all right. Wow.
Yep. And I think I had to confirm with my parents which songs I was purchasing and had to keep it to like a reasonable amount. But I was an iTunes geek. I think I still have upwards of like 9,000 songs on iTunes. Ooh. Yeah. So it's a lot.
Do you remember when they jumped from 99 cents to like $1.29?
Oh, it pissed me off so much. that extra little bit, man, just was really a pinch for a high schooler.
There's
you know?
An iTunes episode waiting to happen. We did that when we talked our iPod episode. That was like pretty big.
Yep.
But yeah. Do you guys, I wanted to talk a little bit about putting this into the 2008 kind of bubble. Do you remember Idol Gives Back?
Yes. Yeah.
Talk about another, like, all right, wasting more time. Not that charity's bad, but
that's what I'm hearing you say, right?
Don't give money to charity. Yeah. Give money to us. At Most Extreme.
Oh my God.
No, but for people who don't know, Idol Gives Back.
My Venmo is @Jarrett_.
SouvenirSense.com. Idol Gives Back was essentially, for people to know, was a concert/fundraiser that occurred for this season on April 9th, 2008, which kind of was, you know, songs and different stuff.
This wasn't the first year they did it.
They did it a year prior. Yeah. And then
was
this
top
one.
Eight, too? They did, like, was it top or eight, top six?
Eight or nine.
It
might have been around the same time.
Okay.
I do remember that they would normally put it on the Wednesday night where they would normally do results, and then they did a results show the next day. For people who were really into American Idol this time, it was like, hey man, you busy? I got 3 days of Idol.
Yes.
And to your point earlier of the ratings, like they owned three nights of the week.
Right.
Yes.
Ratings wise. Like the NFL was Sundays.
Right.
It was like American Idol on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah. I found some quote from a rival network that was just like, yeah, Fox is the network, especially this time because you have 24.
Yeah.
And then you've got House.
Yep.
And then you've also got Simpsons. You've got like, they were dominating. for a really long time, especially in this era. But for people to know, so Idol Gives Back was like they're doing a charity fundraiser thing. And a lot of it was vignettes of celebrities doing like improv kind of like they would visit people and they did a lot of good work for like kids in Africa and around the United States. A lot of it was they just put a celebrity in front of the camera and then they just said, give money to Idol Gives Back. And that was it.
But like Bono, through this list, Michael Chiklis.
I have the list of everybody from 2008. Okay, did you get any idea of like the celebrities from this time who said who just were placed in front of a tripod and said give money? Okay, Adam Sandler.
Okay,
Alicia Keys, Ashley Tisdale, and Vanessa Hudgens. So they were shooting High School Musical 3.
I was gonna say they were pretty hot stuff on set. That era anyway.
Yeah. Barack Obama was a part of it. That's right.
What?
We want to give money to these kids. Ryan. That might be the rest of the episode if Ian is just doing that.
Some pretty good songs.
Yeah. I think I can do a better job. Somebody hit me with the mic. Ben Stiller, Brad Pitt, Billy Crystal, Billy Ray Cyrus, Bono, Boyz II Men, Carrie Underwood, Celine Dion, Charlie Wilson,
Holy
Cheryl God. Hines, Chris Brown, Chris Daughtry, Chris Jericho, Dane Cook,
what?
David Beckham, David Spade, Dr. Phil, Eddie Dr. Izzard, Phil. Both Manning Brothers, Ellen DeGeneres, Forrest Whitaker, George Lopez, Jim Carrey, Jimmy Kimmel, who roasted Simon Cowell. Back to Jimmy Kimmel for 1 second, is that he got there and just kind of did like a Comedy Central roast, and amazing. That was his like charitable thing.
I mean, and it was something.
It was something. And then in the finale show, he comes back again and does the same thing with Ryan, back to that cynical view, where he got up there during the thing and he was talking about, like, wow, that Ryan guy, man, I love him. He's such a handsome dude. And it's like, man, you should see him without his makeup on. And then he just showed a picture of a fat guy. And I'm like, what is this very cynical, evil, like, yikes. I hate this humor. This is not funny.
Not PC anymore either.
Yeah.
So who is that name after Jimmy Kimmel?
I can't see it. I'll play the...
You gotta play... And his name is... John Cena.
John Legend, John McCain.
I can't see it.
Oh, the Jonas Brothers did a performance as well. Jordan Sparks, Kobe Bryant. It's a lot of people.
Oh, my gosh.
And that just speaks to how popular it was.
And you're only halfway through the alphabet.
I know.
Exactly. Tyra Banks, the Sprouse Brothers, Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi. Man. It wasn't a lot of time. It was an interesting time for sure, especially in terms of the celebrities they could get and that they could spend a whole night just doing a charity event. Mm-hmm. And then that would have as much ratings as every show on TV.
Absolutely.
So
I wonder, do you have the info in front of you, how much they raised?
They raised, I think I have it somewhere. I think it's something close to about $76 million.
Wow. Whoa.
I did read something that apparently the event cost about half that to put on.
Oh, dang it.
So it's kind of like,
come on, guys.
So it's, but I mean, at the same time, it's still, we can be mad about that, but at the same time, they are doing a good cause on television, which doesn't happen very often. So it's one of those things, but you're like, all right, do better. But they had a lot of corporate sponsors that brought a lot too, because they wanted to still be able to do advertisements. But all of that money for the advertisements for the event went to the same charitable causes. I don't know what they mean, because sometimes they're just like, we're giving to charity. And you're like, all right, what charity? And then like, it's Obama. Yeah.
It's a good charity. I promise. It's a good one.
So very, very interesting for sure. But I specifically want to talk about, there's a lot of different stuff that happened within the pop culture of American Idol in the season. But I did want to talk about the finale a little bit, mainly because a lot of what happens in American Idol finales, and just because when they want to get the ratings, is that they put kind of commercials within the show.
Hmm.
So in the finale, a lot of stuff happens.
I'm trying to recall this.
At one point, this happens every season, is that the two finalists get a car. I don't know if you remember what I'm talking about, but they're like to promote the new Ford Edge Explorer.
Yeah,
Ryan Seacrest is always like, outside, we've got two cars waiting for, and here are the keys on the new 2009 Ford Edge Explorer. Jeez. As if I'm going to be like, I got to get one of those cars.
Well, if both Davids
maybe
have
Ryan Seacrest is outside my house about to give me a car.
So they did that every season. That was a big one. Talk about cringe. They around the same time, they promoted the 2008 hit movie within this.
Oh, God.
The Love Guru.
Oh, no.
All you all know I'm talking
about.
I just
repressed this. I don't remember any of this.
Do you not remember what the Love Guru is?
Oh, no, I remember what that is. I just don't remember it being promoted during the finale.
I have a very distinct memory. I think this movie almost destroyed Mike Myers' career. I think he still did.
I mean, what movies has he been in since? Let's just face facts.
Inglourious Bastards, and that's it.
And that's it.
I forgot he was in that.
Oh, wait, he's in Bohemian Rhapsody. As a made-up character that never happened in their actual career. He's just in there like, hello, mate.
he's trying to make it back.
Yeah, what? So Mike Myers appeared in the finale of season 7 as his character of Pitka? I don't remember. And he was the spiritual director for the finalists.
Yeah, I definitely replaced
and
that.
And so there's a whole, like, filmed comedy bit of both Davids going to Paramount Pictures to watch the movie. And then they show up to Pitka's office where he's playing sitar hero.
Oh, no. I can't believe that's a
thing.
Feels
like, it feels like...
Whose idea was this?
Sitar hero.
This whole... All the comedy for this feels like something that would be one of those, like, epic movie.
Yeah.
Like, Meet the Spartans. Like, one of those things.
Mm.
Very much like, what's the joke other than you're just referencing something? But during the finale show, both... there was different commercials that came out around the same time. Oh, also, Mike Myers does show up at the results as himself, as the Love Guru. And he's like, hello, everybody. The winner's name will be David. And then leaves.
Amazing.
And it's like, oh.
It's great.
It's on YouTube. The cringe is real.
Cringe is real.
During the finale show, there were different commercials featuring both Archuleta and Cook. But both of them had separate commercials where they both mimicked the Tom Cruise risky business scene.
I remember that.
Oh,
where he's in his underwear playing Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero
was all over, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
I remember, I think, was it both Davids that slid in, you know?
I remember
just take
that.
Those old
rock, get this off the shelf. Old time rock.
Both of them had different commercials. That was a very popular commercial, too, because then, like, Kobe Bryant had one. Roy Williams had one.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh.
We're playing the Guitar Hero.
Well, let me jump in here. So that year also, it was like, so Guitar Hero, I had played Guitar Hero for the first time that year.
Right. Yes.
Blew my mind.
Can we circle back to DDR at the same time, too? You know?
And David Cook. So, like, between Guitar Hero and David Cook, like, they are directly responsible for, like, 50% of what was on my iPod from learning about, like, classic rock and stuff and, like, some of the stuff that, like, because David Cook would, like, sing a song this way and it's like, oh, who's that guy you did a cover of? Oh, that's really cool. Oh, that's the lead singer of Soundgarden. And it's like, Soundgarden.
Yeah.
Oh, also Pearl Jam.
Yes.
Like,
and Guitar Hero is similar.
And Guitar Hero is similar.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, that's another part of it. It's just like a lot of the music can be directly traced.
Well,
back.
Music is so much like I've said this before, but music is so much bookmarks in time. Mm-hmm. You know, if you remember when that one song was playing over that one summer, I mean, you know, not summer of 69, I wasn't alive, but things like that, where you have those songs that stick out in a particular time period of your life. They're very bookmarkish.
I saw it was a tweet or something after the Super Bowl.
Right.
That was like, oh, what a cool halftime show. They usually just do that to cater to the old people.
I mean, they had Snoop for, you know, Gen X. They had Kendrick for us. Like, they had a good mix. Like, you know, Mary J. Blige. Just a little, come on.
But, like,
but
we're
the
getting
old
older.
Yep.
We're the older.
Most of the boomers were really puzzled who was singing, though.
Who's this Snoop Dogg? at one point,
he's the one selling me matches or whatever.
Is it him and it's Martha Stewart?
I was gonna say he's just been with Martha Stewart.
Yeah, where they're both selling. There's a commercial where they're selling Bic lighters, and she's like, "I like to light this with my candles." He's like, "And other things," and that's it. Perfect.
That's all he did.
At one point during the finale, the Jonas Brothers do a performance, and then it cuts to Ryan Seacrest, and he's on stage sitting next to this elderly woman named Pat. And apparently they just grabbed her out of the audience at the finale. So he's like, wow, wasn't that great, Pat? And she's like, yeah, this is awesome. Like, I just found her in the audience. You want their CD? She's
shout
like, sure.
To Pat.
It's like, all right. And then they introduced the next act. It was so funny. And it's just like, hey, old grandma, you want to come on stage, hang out with Ryan?
We joke, but he is like, Ryan Seacrest is
he's
perfect
fantastic
for that
job.
Oh, yes. No,
that
he's thriving.
He's fantastic. I love, Ryan Seacrest does really good, especially with like the auditions and stuff. He's always like that person's friend.
Yeah.
Like they're mad because they got jumped out.
Yeah.
He's always going to be there for you kind of guy in terms of he's great at his job and he's just, devoted to it too.
Yes.
And I mean, he has, experience in radio, so he's, you know, coming from that kind of world too. So his
Ryan
voice
Seacrest
is great.
Top 40.
But yeah, I wanted to mention one other kind of movie tie-in that also happened around the same time. Not The Love Guru, a little bit of a film, is that at one point during the movie, to promote the film Tropic Thunder,
another
Ben Stiller, Jack Black, and Robert Downey Jr. appeared as the Pips to sing Midnight Train to Georgia with Gladys Knight. And it's a film sequence where it looks like they just got a, they just got put into the music video. And so their background dancing and singing, it is phenomenal. You can find it on YouTube. It is one of the funniest videos ever. We'll put it on our
True
Instagram.
True comedy gold.
So check that out.
I didn't see Tropic Thunder until like 3 years ago.
Did you like it?
I liked it a lot. I think it's really fun.
I may have seen it once. I don't remember. I have to watch it again.
Definitely also puts in 2008 too. Mm-hmm. As it turns to like the cast and everything, where there's even like background actors who are like huge now. One of those for sure.
Yeah.
And also one of those movies that just kind of starts with like fake movie trailers. So you're like, are you watching the same movie? Yeah.
Yeah.
To kind of set you up for who's the actors in the film. But yeah, Tropic Thunder. A film that came out. Okay, but in terms of the winning, so David Cook actually won by defeating him with a roughly margin of Defrayed Archuleta by 12 million votes out of 90 million votes, which is more than voted in the 2016 election.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
But yeah, so that was the highest record vote in total history of the show up to that point.
Okay.
Small.
I remember hearing that on the finale. Like they said that you guys blew it out of the water.
And also that they announced the spread, which I thought was weird.
Yeah.
That they say like they said like he won by 12 million votes or something.
Oh, sure.
Like it felt weird to put that in there.
Wasn't it like 56-44? I think I remember them talking about that too, percentage wise, just to give you an idea of like how many 12 million.
But there was a lot of problems too because of how they were voting was like texting and stuff like that. People also thought that was a little.
And you can also vote multiple times, right?
Right,
yeah.
So to split a very thin hair, that is 97 million votes could be like 12 people.
Just like rapid fire dialing,
you know how many bots you would get, you could get voting
now? Oh my
gosh, yes, unique time.
That's one of the things you don't, that's why you don't trust the internet to do things.
Yes.
Because then they'll send Pitbull to like Alaska or something. Sorry, Alejandro.
And the winner is a writer, write-in Pitbull.
South Park, yeah.
What a unique time
Bart
window,
Simpson.
Though, to be able to do that. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Truly. I mean, who even remembers dial tones now, right?
Right, exactly. Who calls for anyone? Well, I did want to mention a couple other things that happened around the same time was that I don't know if you know that there was a American Idol season 7 tour, which happened the same summer. And they did this every year. So it's like, I know you guys won, but all 12 of you or top 10, you're still going on tour together for the rest of the year. Mm. So you still have more performing to do.
So much.
So there was a summer tour through the United States and Canada that happened through the rest of 2008. This tour followed the tradition of other American Idol summer tours following the completion of the season in May. It was a 53-date tour that started in Glendale and ended in Tulsa. The tour was sponsored by Kellogg's Pop Tarts and Guitar Hero.
Let's
again coming
circle.
Back during the intermission of the show. There's a top 10 performing We Are an American Idol Band 70s outfits, and there was a Guitar Hero World Tour rockumentary with a Guitar Hero contest where some of the members of the audience could win a Guitar Hero World Tour set.
Wow.
A lot of Guitar Hero was happening around this time, but I guess like, there's a lot of overlap. I think if you had anything music related happening in the late 2000s, then it was happening.
Yes.
Kind of
interconnectedly. Yes.
Exactly.
That's a word.
A couple other ones. The big one I wanted to mention was, of course, since I'm hosting the show, the American Idol Experience, which was a ride / attraction at Walt. Have you done this?
I have not, I have heard about it. I was wondering how they can make it a ride.
I remember legitimately strongly considering doing it.
Okay.
Because the following year in 10th grade, my choir went to, it would have taken the whole day, but my choir went to Disney World for a music competition.
I think we talked about this at one point.
We probably have. I know one person who actually won this.
No
Yes,
way.
I do, from high school. The American Idol Experience was a theme park attraction at Disney's Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World Resort. It was inspired by the popular American TV series where the attraction invited guests to audition in front of a live audience from the park who would vote for their favorite singers, and the last show of the operating day would have the... from the winners of preliminary shows would come together and the people would win and the audience was encouraged to heckle the judges.
Amazing.
So
you suck.
So if you won, you had the preliminary shows during the day,
right?
And you had the final one at night. And if you won that,
You won.
You would get like, would you get like preferred audition?
I think to whatever, so. Or I think that was the idea, is that you're going to Hollywood, but I don't know how that works. I don't know. This is similar to something where they had at the same park, they had like a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire game show thing that you could participate in. And the audience could do that. And if the winner of that just got like a free cruise or something from Disney.
I mean, that still sounds pretty sweet. It's not a million, but
yeah, not gonna lie.
Wouldn't turn my nose up, you know,
but that lasted for a long time. They actually promoted it on the finale.
You get that unlimited pasta bar and you work your way up to the million. Yeah. You
give me all the ramen I need.
keep it coming.
But it's one of those things where, yeah, it's like, okay, I want to do a singing on American Idol, but that's going to take my entire day at Disney World to do this. So why don't I just go on the roller coaster a bunch of times?
Yeah.
That's what I would have done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so around the same time when they were airing at the finale, they're promoting this with Jordan Sparks on top of the Cinderella castle. Like, wow, I just love living the idol dream here at Walt Disney World Resort. It's the thing you're supposed to say if you win anything.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to Disney World. Do people still do that? I don't know.
Not that I've heard recently, but
you get paid to do that? I don't know.
I think maybe you go ahead and say it and then you try to get paid after.
Well, if it was still the lockdown and you were the NBA, too bad. You're doing it at Disney World no matter what.
I'm staying in Disney World.
Yeah.
Oh, living the dream.
Real quick, Kids Meal Corner.
The Kids Meal Corner. Because you had a bad day, take your one down.
It's Ryan Seacrest. I have in 2008 McDonald's did.
You're just gonna drop a Kids Meal Corner without any of the lead up.
Oh yeah.
He's like, yes.
Because I found it.
Yes, I am.
I found it just now.
It's just, I love every episode. It's always like, oh no, don't say it, don't say it. And then you're just like, all right, so a quick Kids Meal Corner.
My goal is at some point that it just happens mid sentence that we're saying. So David cooked Kids Meal Corner, whereas. I was like, ah! To really surprise people, that's the idea.
So we're going to have a remix of Bad Day, but is that going to be this intro?
Now it is. It's a Bad Day and Home at the same time.
Mashup. No one's ever thought of that. Have you seen the video of the six country songs all layered together?
Oh, God. And they all probably sound the same.
No, it is all, it's like the six most popular country songs from the summer of like 2017 or something all layered over each other.
Oh my gosh.
Is it funny?
No, it's hysterical. We'll play this after.
Okay, I was going to say, I have to hear this now.
So that, I'm sorry for all the listeners who've just heard both songs.
They don't know what they've heard. Same
time. So McDonald's in 2008 had toys of different kind of singers that are like kind of cartoon characters, dolls.
Oh, okay.
We have Country Clay, Disco Dave, Hippie Harmony, Lil Hip Hop, New Wave Nigel, Peaky Pete, Rockin' Riley, and Soulful Selma. So those are the ideas of the characters, kind of cartoons. They're kind of cool. They kind of look like early ideas for Funko Pops. The years before this, McDonald's did like microphones, like headsets, things like that.
It would have been more
toys.
Kind of the
ones from 2007 were as like a microphone, a guitar.
Is that one?
Which one?
The gun with a hand on it. What do you mean, which one? What? The only insane one. What? What other one could I possibly have a question about?
You might have to drop that in Instagram.
I believe that is a clapper.
It looks
like a gun with a hand on the side. I think it's two guns.
So you pull the trigger and it claps two hands. I thought it like shot out a hand at some. Give him a hand. Bang.
Every American Idol gets a microphone, a headset, glasses, a gun.
Okay.
Handing kids,
Idol gives back, or else.
Hey, can I return my gun? And I'll exchange it for something else. Wow, the dystopia we live in. But yeah, in terms of the pop culture, I think American Idol definitely fits in. And now, because we have shows like The Voice, where I feel like the judges have a lot more places being coaches, where they do a lot more than to sit there and be like, good job. Anyway, moving on, you know.
Yeah, more proactive than reactive. Yeah.
Right. And also, now that we've lost the auditions and sort of that mean-spirited feeling to the show, we've talked about this on a Survivor episode too, but it does feel that like a lot of reality television that was in the 2000s that was a lot more mean-spirited and try to get the drama and all that stuff has kind of changed. You still have stuff like The Bachelor and things, but Survivor's definitely gotten a lot more lighthearted.
Bachelor feels like the last holdout, honestly.
Right. And part of it is, A, once you have a reality show host as your president, things start to feel a little bit like, is this a show? I don't know anymore. And then,
Am I in the Matrix?
Or, and that people want to go to watch something to feel good about themselves and not to feel bad or, you know, to put other people's downs. That doesn't help anybody. So having shows like The Voice, I think it definitely helped. But yeah, that's kind of all I have, unless you have anything else to talk about specifically about this season or whatever.
I mean, I think we covered it all. Just the idea that it was like it happened in a moment in time that ended up being like, it was just a really like memorable, uh-huh. Like ninth grade was just super memorable and fun for me. And so like this was like a great, I just remember like every step along the way. I've gone back like in the years since, oh, this is actually kind of funny. And so in the years since I would go back and like rewatch the performances of a lot of people, but like especially like David Cook, I would just go back and like rewatch all his performances and stuff. And sometimes like all in order or whatever, like I was nuts. And I was just like really loved it. I remember, it was like I was in summer school at UNC. I think it was like between junior and senior year or something. It was like 7 or 8 years after this.
Yeah.
After this episode. And I remember, I think I had like, you can edit this out. I think I like had a beer or two. Mm-hmm. And so I was like in a, just an especially nostalgic mood and like messaged the David Cook Facebook page.
Wow.
And I was just like, I don't know like who runs this or what is it. Yeah. And it was just like, I'm just thinking about like,
was it a private group?
I don't know.
Prove that you like David Cook.
But I was just like, I just like, that was a real memorable time. I still love your music. Like, a good time. And then when I turned 27, I literally had the thought of like, I'm as old as David Cook was when he won American Idol.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking like, that seems wild to me.
Mm-hmm.
I find it funny though that David Archuleta, I think, maybe had the bigger career of the two. Because he
maybe more visible career.
Maybe was like he was on iCarly right after this.
Yeah.
And they did a whole episode about like him losing American Idol. But they don't call it that. They call it like America Sings or something
sure.
like that.
Sure. They, I mean, yeah.
So I think maybe with my demographic who are
Nintendo
younger.
GS.
The Pear Pods, all that.
Sitar Hero.
Sitar Hero. Honestly, make that. That'd be sick. On our Rock Band.
The hardest game in the world. Right?
Like on our Rock Band episode, we pitched a Miles Davis version of Guitar Hero.
Oh, dang.
14 minute solos.
Miles Davis. Never thought three buttons would be so hard to miss.
But yeah, so I think in general, they both have, you know, they're not where they are now, but
Sammy Davis Jr. be a trumpet. Sorry. I was thinking Miles Davis is
right. Miles Davis is a trumpet player. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Then like a three button guitar hero.
Yeah. Or just Dave Matthews where you just go nuts for forever.
Three button trumpet hero.
Dave. Yeah.
Trumpet hero. Trumpet hero doesn't need to happen. But yeah, anything else to add?
Just battle hymn of the Republic.
Or taps. Yeah, I don't know.
Taps. No buttons, though. That'd
be the easiest one. Was it August Rush?
Yeah. That's when you're still a garage band.
That's right. You haven't moved out of the garage yet.
Yeah. It's a long time. It definitely, you hit the feels. I know we haven't mentioned that the American Idol theme is what inspired the theme for this show, Most Extreme Podcast.
Mm. Wow,
so
that's right.
Now you're going to listen back and be like, yep, that sounds like American Idol. So that's you get it. And we did our Far, Far Away Idol which was, again, bringing it back to like Shrek.
And Mike Myers.
Mike Myers being back and Simon Cowell being animated, yeah. Yep.
This podcast really hit everything pretty quick when we went with a DVD extra for the sequel of Shrek.
Yeah. You know, like, well, I mean, like, yeah, we're doing a very specific season.
I see what this podcast is going to be about. Yeah, this is,
yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, Alex, thank you for coming on the show.
Of course.
Thank you for coming back. You have a prize coming. It's not here yet.
Okay.
But it's the handgun.
Oh,
no, it is not the handgun.
Can I trade it back?
This is also going to put it in the 2000s era for you. You are getting the American Idol All-Star Challenge DVD game.
Let's go.
which is basically like a Scenet ripoff.
I was gonna say
with like a microphone and stuff, but it's hosted by Ryan Seacrest.
Beautiful.
So thank we you. Will be playing.
I was
that
gonna
sometime.
Say we're bringing that back. Yeah,
yeah, we gotta play it. But
let me know when we can find a DVD player and we'll get
that
going.
I think I got a PlayStation. Yeah, PlayStation could do the job.
Or we
PlayStation sponsors.
Yeah, right.
Send us PlayStation 5s.
Yeah,
email us at
anything you want to say while you're here.
No, just great to be back.
Yeah,
great
talking American Idol.
Excited about talking about American Idol.
Yeah. Cheers. Well, thanks for listening. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter with the handle Most Extreme Pod. Yeah, you can email us at mostextremepodcast@gmail.com. 15% off souvenir scents. Discount code is extreme, X-T-R-E-M-E. And you can see the Academy Award winning movie Dune is on HBO Max, oh my gosh, baby.
Hallelujah.
I forgot you haven't been here for so long that we've been ending our episodes with saying, and watch Dune on HBO Max. Dune.
It is amazing.
So when people are like, what do you want to promote?
I wanted to see it. I never saw it.
Wait, Jarrett, get
you
on
have
that.
To watch it. You okay. got to go to Arrakis with us.
We're going to Arrakis before we play the DVD game.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And Sitar Hero.
Mm-hmm. All right, bye.
I'm just kidding. Arrakis is the name of the world.
Yeah.